Today's daf is Bamatia daf Yud Gimel. We were up to daf Yud Beis and Beis, and we are at the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Matzah Shtari Chov. So if you find Shtari Chov, you find Shtaros that Reuven owes money to Shimon, Im Yesh Ben Achrayis Nechasim Lo Yachzir. If there's a Achrayis Nechasim in those Shtaros, which typically there are, which means that the Shtar says that if the, let's say if it's Reuven owing money to Shimon, that if Reuven does not have money to pay Shimon back, that Shimon, that all of Reuven's land at the time of the loan has a lien on it, and therefore Shimon can go collect that land even if Reuven no longer has that land. Even if Reuven has since sold that land to Levi, Shimon is still allowed to go and collect that land. So if there's a chayis nechasim in the shtar, then you should not return that shtar to Shimon, because Shimon is going to be able to collect with it if you return it. Shebezin Ephron Mehen. Bezin is going to allow Shimon to collect money with that, to collect land with that, and we don't want that to happen, right? We don't want Bezin to collect money with the shtar. Apparently, we don't really think that it's okay to go and collect from the kuchos with a lost shtar. Now, typically, with a regular shtar, you can collect from the kuchos. That's the whole point of a chayis nechasim. But the Gemara is going to discuss, apparently, with a lost shtar, we're much more worried about it, and we don't want to be able to collect from the kuchos. Ein ben achrayis nechasim, but if there's no achrayis nechasim in the shtar anyway, so then yachzir, then you can return the shtar, meaning if there's no ability to collect from the kuchos with that shtar, so then you might as well return that shtar. She'ein bezin ephraim mehen, because bezin is never able to get paid back, to bezin will not allow the person to get paid back from that shtar anyway. Bezin is not going to go to any lekuchos anyway, so you don't have to worry about returning the shtar. Divrei Rav Meir, that's where Rav Meir holds. The Gemara is going to discuss why Bezin is only worried about the lekuchos and not getting paid back from the guy himself, meaning Mimamshach. If the shtar is a problematic shtar, we shouldn't allow it to be collected from anybody. If it's not a problematic shtar, so good, the lekuchos deserve to lose their land. That's part of the risk of buying land from somebody, so you have to do the research, find out if there are any liens on the land. So the Gemara will deal with that. But Rav Meir clearly distinguishes between a shtar that has a chayis nechasim versus a shtar that does not have a chayis nechasim. The Chachamim omrim, and the Chacham say, no, bein kach, bein kach, lo yachzir. Either way, you don't return the shtar, because Beis Din will use that shtar to pay the guy back, and we don't trust that the shtar is okay. So even if there's no achrayis nechasim, and all Beis Din is going to be able to do is collect the money from the guy himself, nevertheless, we don't want that shtar going back, because we don't think he really owes the money, and or we have suspicions that he doesn't, and therefore that shtar can no longer be used in Beis Din. Now the Shulchan Aruch lahalacha in Chosh Mishpat Siman Samachay, Shulchan Aruch writes that if you find a shtar chov, lo yachzir shtar sheyesh bo achrayis klal, you can't ever be machzir shtar that has achrayis. Vafilu im yesh b'shtar ne'emanus, v'chein hu betoch zmano. Says Shulchan Aruch, even if it's betoch hazman, meaning generally we have a chazaka that ein adam parei betoch zmano, that a person does not pay back within the zman of the shtar. So even if you want to say that the problem with the shtar is that maybe it's parua, and after it was parua, someone dropped it instead of destroying it, but if it's betoch zmano, it's hard to say that there's a chazaka that it was parua, right? Because we have a chazaka, and ain't nothing parua betoch zmano. Nevertheless, you don't return the shtar. V'afilu mehamalva o alova nasim b'shtar simen muvak. And says Shulchan Aruch, even if they give a simen muvak, that they give a simen as to what the shtar looked like. Kigon sheish nekev b'tzados mesiyemes. They say there's a hole next to a certain letter on the shtar. So shehu shalo. So they give a simen mufak that it must belong to them. Avol malve nasan simen mufak she'eino b'gof hashtar. But if the malva gives a simen mufak that's not on the shtar itself, he describes the packaging of the shtar. So in such a case, then you return to the malva, and he can collect from the Nechasim Pnei Chorin. He won't be able to collect from the Nechasim Shpadim, but he'll be able to collect from the Nechasim Pnei Chorin. The Shach, however, writes, he quotes here in the Biurei Adaf, Aval Kasav HaShach lo mimushubadim, you can't collect from Mushubadim, kibin sheyesh chashash, ki ha-malve v'halove asu b'neim kanunya, that we have to be worried that the malve and the love have some sort of deal going on over here, some sort of trick, which the Gemara is going to discuss soon. V'halove kvar para, the kibul as hashtar, what happened was, the love already paid up the shtar, got the shtar back, right? So it's already done. Vigilas asimul malva b'shvil shashtar yachzor elav. And then he showed the malva, he told the malva the simen, so that the malva will get the shtar back. V'kach yigva min alakucha shlo kedin. And he said to the malva, look, you're going to get the shtar back, and they're going to allow you to collect. I'm going to say I don't have any money. You're going to go be tori from lakuchos. When you do that, we'll split the lakuchos. So they'll make a kununya, they'll make such a deal, and that's why you can't collect from the mishabadim. But from the nechasim and echarin, you can collect in such a case. Now the ketzos writes that you shouldn't have to be worried that the lova gave the malva the simen in the shtar so that the malva should be able to get the shtar back and then go collect from the kuchos. Because think about it for a second. If he wanted to give the shtar to the malva, he could have given the shtar to the malva, right? He could have just given it to him privately. He didn't have to have it be lost and then give him the simen in the shtar. Good. So that's the basic discussion in halacha. Now says the Gemara. Wait a second. Maya Skinan. What exactly is the case in our Mishnah? Ilem kashachayiv moda. Is the lova moda that he owes the money or not? Does the guy admit that he owes the money when you find the shtar? So if he owes the money, if he admits that he owes the money, so kiyesh ben achrayis nechasam maylo yachzir hamoda. So if I don't care whether there are achrayis nechasam or not, you should always return it. The guy's moda. He's moda that he owes the money. So why would that not work? He's moda that the shtar is a legitimate shtar. So even if there is a chayis nechasim, what's to be concerned about? They write shtaros with a chayis nechasim. It's a legitimate shtar. The kishein chayiv moda, and if he was not moda, ki ein ben a chayis nechasim amayachzir. So then why, when there's no a chayis nechasim, can you return it? Neither will government mishabdi mi bnei chari mikvagavi. Granted, they're not going to go collect nechasim shabadim from the kuchos, but they're still going to use the shtar for the malva to be able to collect from the lova. And isn't that itself problematic if he's not moda? And we're assuming there might be a problem with the shtar. So this is obviously kasha Rameir, right? Rameir is one that was mechalek between whether there's a chayis nechasim or not, and he says whether you're chozer or not, whether you're machzir the shtar or not. The chachamim said either way you're not going to be machzir. So apparently the chachamim hold the chacham could easily just be talking about a case where the guy is not moda, and therefore we don't want this to get paid back. But Rav Meir is much more difficult, because Rav Meir, if the guy is moda, there's no reason not to return it. If the guy is not moda, there's no reason to ever return it, regardless of achrayas nechasim or not. Now the Rishonim ask a kasha. They say, wait a second, within the first tzad, right? So what did we say? If the guy is moda, so what do I care that there's a chayis nechasim? Just return it anyway. He was moda. What's the problem? So he quotes over here the Ramban. Ramban hiksha madu yachzir kashachayv moda. Why should you return it when the love is moda? V'alo b'hoda asa zu hu chov lulukuchos. When he's moda, it's not only going to cost him money, it's going to cost the lukuchos money, the people who've purchased his property since then. Kivin sheyesh b'shtar achrayis nechasim, because again, we're talking about a shtar that has achrayis nechasim. And ve'ein adam neman lahodos kishu chav lacherim. Yes, hodos baldin is kamei edim dami. That is true. We always say hodos baldin is kamei edim dami. But not when it's chav lacherini, not when it's going to cost somebody else. When it costs you money, sa'adas baldin is kamei edim dami. When it's going to cost somebody else money, we never say such a thing. So the Ramban answers a big chiddush. It doesn't sound this way from the Gemara, but the Ramban answers that the lova is only neman with his hoda'a regarding mikanul haba. Meaning, once the lova is moda, that the shtar was in fact written, yes, if it has a chayis nechasim, the Gemara is saying, you should be able to return it, but that's only to collect with it mikanu lahaba, from that day on, from the day of his hoda'a and on. But to go back and be torif min lukuchos from previous, that you're not allowed to do. That's the Ramban's teretz. A big chiddush in what's going through the Gemara's mind at this point. The Ritva's miyashev, that the lova is neman to cause other people chov, to be chav lachrini, in this case. It's only in a situation where there's a concern of kanunya, where there's a concern that he's doing some sort of trick in order to make money off the deal for himself, the lova would not be naman. And at this stage in the Gemara, we're assuming that there's no chashash of kanunya over here, that there's no concern that maybe he's pulling some sort of shtick. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Says the Gemara Vayter. So that's the kash. I don't understand what's going on over here. Was the chayiv moda? Was the lover moda? Or was he not moda? If he was moda, a mayor should always say you should return it. If he's not moda, a mayor should never say to return it. Says the Gemara Liolam Kisha chayiv moda. He was moda. Vahacha hainu taima. And over here, the reason, if even though he was moda, we're not going to return it if it has a chayiv nechasim to chashinan shema kasav luvos benisan v'lolava atishrei. That we're afraid that maybe they wrote in the shtar that they're going to lend the money in Nisan. He didn't actually lend the money until Tishrei. Vasil mitzvah v'kucha shalakadin. So if the shtar says Nisan and they didn't actually do anything until Tishrei, what about all those karkos that the lova sold between Nisan and Tishrei? According to the shtar, you'll be able to collect from those lekuchos, but that's not fair because at the time that those lekuchos purchased those fields, there was no lien on those fields yet. So that's what we're concerned about with the shtar, even though the lov is moda. That's what we're concerned about with collecting from the nechasim, from the lekuchos. So frak the gemara ihachi, what does it have to do with our case of mitzias shtar? What does it have to do with finding a shtar then? If that's the case, kol shtar yidasu lekama nechush lahachi. By every single shtar that comes our way, we should always have this concern. No, can't you always be worried that any shtar that's written, that maybe that at the time it was written, they were not yet giving the money, they were not yet up to making a deal, and they only did it 2 weeks later, a month later, 6 months later, and therefore lekuchos are going to be losing out shalokadin? So says Gemara, no, you don't assume that, because kol shtari lo rei, hani rei, other shtaros don't have a reisa. This shtar has a reisa. What's the reisa? So Rashi explains, once it fell, it's a reis on the shtar. Because we can assume that if the shtar was kosher, the guy would have been much more careful about it. So the fact that it fell is itself a reis on the shtar. The Ketzos explains what Rashi means to say is that the chashash is for the kashrus of the shtar, not that only because maybe he didn't lend money. Even if he did borrow money with that shtar, even if there was a deal with that shtar, and even if there are Aiden that saw that the Malve dropped the shtar, and therefore that the shtar should still be in force, but since the Malve obviously wasn't that careful with the shtar, the very fact that he was able to get to the point of dropping it and of just losing it, that itself is ma'orer chashash in the kashrus of the shtar, even if everything else seems to be a go. And the Ketzos just asks that Rashi himself has said previously on Dav Zayin Amud Beis that if there are Eidim that saw who dropped the shtar, then you do return the shtar. Meaning, based on his biur and what Rashi is saying over here, is I don't care if Eidim saw that he dropped the shtar. The very fact that it was dropped tells me that it's not kosher. But Rashi previously said no, that if you see that the Edom saw exactly that the Malve dropped the shtar, so you know it belongs to him, then you can return it to him. So that's a little bit difficult. Also, says the Ketzos, later on the Gemara is going to say, if there's a simen in the shtar, right, at least certain types of simanim, then you return it. So I don't know, but how could that be? If the very fact that it was dropped is a reisa, so then why would you return it based on a simon? So for those reasons, the Ketzos rejects Shitas Rashi and instead says that what does it mean that Hani Rei, that these shtaros have some sort of reis on them? He says you have to say like the Rush, that the Nefilas Hashtar causes a chashash that maybe the Malve got rid of the shtar on purpose, that he just threw the shtar away. And that chashash is only when there's no simon on the shtar. Because if there's a simon, so he obviously didn't get rid of it on purpose, because if he was planning on doing that, what did he make a simon in it to protect it? Obviously the simon is there to make sure to have extra level of security. So when there's a simon, you'd be machzir it. And also if Edom saw the shtar fell from the Malva, and we saw that it was an accident, right? We saw that he didn't drop it on purpose, then you would return it to him. No, the chashash is that maybe he wasn't interested in it anymore and he dropped it on purpose. Not that the fact that he wasn't careful is megala that it was bad. It wasn't that he wasn't careful, it's that we're choshish that he actually got rid of it. He quotes here in the Biurei Adav that the tumim is miyashiv in the name of the balatrumos, that when the shtar is a simen, so ein hanafila megara'a spo klal. If the shtar is a simen, the nafila doesn't cause any problems in the shtar. Why? Mishum shanafila megara'a. Sha'az yesh chashash l'kanunya. Nefila causes a problem only when you need the lova to admit in order to be able to return it, because then we have to worry that maybe the lova is only admitting because he's going to get some money out of the deal. He's got some sort of deal worked out with the malva. Aval kasher yesh bo simin or edim. But when there's a simin or edim, ain chashash l'kanunya. We don't have to worry about kanunya, about the lova getting anything. Because the malva doesn't need the lova to admit to anything in order to get the shtar back. The malva's believed anyway. He's got edim, he's got a simon. So the lova is not important to the malva. And therefore, it's as if the shtar was never nofel in the first place. Okay, so anyway, but for whatever reason, once the shtar has fallen, we assume that there is some sort of reyus on it. So as opposed to a regular shtar that has a chreis l'chasim, we're allowed to trust the dates in the shtar to be what they are, and we don't have to assume any reyusa. That's what the Gemara answers. It says Gemara elahad etnan, but that which we write in the Mishnah says kolsin shtar lelove afal pisha in malve imo lechadchila hechi kasvinu nech l'shem akasav luvos benisim lelove atishrei vasunut v'vukuch shlokadin. The Mishnah says you're allowed to write a shtar for a love, even if the malva is not with him. So basically, a lover comes over to you and says, can you write a shtar that says that I borrowed $1 million from so-and-so today, in today's date? Now, so-and-so isn't here. Only the lover is here. But you figure, what's the problem? I mean, it's saying that this guy owes the money. The adra, the so-and-so will be very happy. Zach l'adam shalabafanav. He'll be very happy that I'm writing a shtar that someone owes him $1 million. So you're allowed to write the shtar for the lover even when the malva is not there. But the thing is, if the malva is not there, you obviously don't see the loan happening. You don't know if there's ever actually a loan taking place. So shouldn't you be worried that if you're writing a shtar to the lover with achrayis nechasim, right, that you're going to be able, the malva is going to be able to be torah from the lekuchos of the lover, you're writing a shtar for the lover without the malva there, maybe the loan isn't happening, or maybe it's not happening yet, and therefore it's going to be torah lekuchos shelo kedin. I mean, shouldn't that be a legitimate concern? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Asi, b'shtari hakna'a, no, we're talking about shtari hakna'a, where the lova is makna all of his nechasim to the malva from today, whether there is a loan or not a loan, right? Whether I borrow money today or don't borrow money today, I am determining right now through this shtar that you're allowed to collect my lukuchos from today. And therefore, any lukuchos who do any research from that point on should be able to find out that there's already a lien on this land, even though money has not yet been lent on this land. So apparently you can get around this issue of the Shiba Nechasim, that the Shiba Nechasim can start before the actual halva'a starts, before the actual halva'a takes place. So that's the idea. Now, the bottom tosos of here, I just noticed now, Kosun shtar lelova afal bishein malva imo. You can write a shtar for the lova even if the malva is there. It says Tosos v'leka lemecha shlemechzik kashikra kimo, that you don't have to worry about mechzik kashikra kimo ba asharta didaini dim kasu kodim nechzik chasimus yidei sa'adi psula. Like by a case of a dayanim writing a certification on the shtar that they can't do so if they didn't see the witness's sign, then it's going to be possible. But by the shtar chov for the lova, even though the malva is not there, that's okay. Why? Because again, the svara we said that when a person is writing something that's only mechayiv him, that's only going to cause him tsaros, so we never say that it's mechzi kashikra. Whenever it's a very one-sided deal, we're not going to say that it looks like he's lying. Adarabba, it looks like he's being extremely honest by having a shtar written to say that he owes money. So anyway, so the only case must be that it's shtari hakna, and therefore that's when you're allowed to write a shtar for the lova, even though the malva is not with him. Frak the Gemara Ihachi, Masnisin de Katani im Yesh ben Achrayis Nechasim lo yachzir. Our Mishnah says, you find the shtar is Achrayis Nechasim, you cannot return it. V'ukim nekeshachayiv moda. And we said that what's the case of the Mishnah? That the lova is moda, that he owes the money. And why can't you return it? Because we're worried that maybe the shtar says that the loan happened in Nisan, but the loan didn't actually happen until Tishrei. And then they're going to go and take from the kuchos illegally. They're going to be able to confiscate property from the kuchos when those the kuchos bought prior to the actual loan. So, in fact, the Gemara, but I'm my lo yachzir. Why should you not be able to return it? Again, Nechzi, take a look at the shtar. Ibishtar Hakna'a, now that we have this concept of Shtar Hakna'a, that you can create the Shibud prior to the loan, so if we're dealing with Shtar Hakna'a, Hashabad Le'Nafshei. So you were already mishabed your property prior to the loan, and there's no problem with that. You're allowed to do that. And Ibishtar De'lo Hakna'a, and if it's not a Shtar Hakna'a, there's nothing to be concerned about. No, but think about it. We just said the only time you're ever going to write a shtar for to the lova when the malva is not there, which essentially means the only time you're ever going to write a shtar for the lova when you didn't see the loan with your own eyes is if it's a shtar hakna'a. So if it's not a shtar hakna'a, what are you worried about? That the shtar says Nisan and they didn't actually borrow the money until Tishrei? That can't be. They never would have gotten a shtar written then, because you don't write a shtar for the lova if the malva is not there, unless it's a shtar hakna'a. So they obviously must have seen the loan. Whoever wrote the shtar must have seen the loan. So what are we worried about? Why not return the shtar? So the Gemara gives an answer. Says the Gemara, Amr le Ravasi, af al gav, d'shtari d'lav hakna'a, ki leka malva ba'de lo kasvinan. Even though, you're right, when it's not a shtar hakna'a, if the malva is not there, we don't write the shtar for the person. That's an invalid shtar. Masnisin kivan de nafal itrele. But again, in our Mishnah, the case is not just stam, that there was a shtar. Stam shtar, you're right, you're allowed to collect with. You don't have to worry about that the loan didn't happen on that day. No, it was a shtar shenafal. It was a shtar that fell. And therefore, there's a problem with the shtar. It's inherently problematic. And therefore, we're choshesh that maybe they did something wrong with the shtar. Maybe there was some sort of halacha that was violated in the writing of the shtar. And therefore, we have to be choshesh that maybe they wrote the shtar even though the malva wasn't there, and that's the real issue. The Ritva writes that interestingly, and this is going to come up a few times in the next couple of dapim, the Ritva and the Rashba is going to say also. The Ritva says that this lashon that afagav the shtar gilav haknak kileka malva badei lo kasvin masnisa given enough literally the chashin don't look rivikasov is not from the lashon of the Gemara. It's a hosafa from Rav Yehuda Igon, and we're going to find a lot of the lashonos I mentioned before. Today's daf is a difficult daf. Tomorrow's daf is a difficult daf. Much of the difficulty is in unusual wording in the dafim, and part of it is because there are hosafos from Gaonim. Apparently, Rishonim point out that there are hosafos from Gaonim into the Gemara. So the actual original text of the Gemara is somewhat difficult. So that's just something to keep an eye on. The Ritva asks on this teretz that Ravasi says that since the shtar fell, so you should worry that maybe it was written without the malva there. So, frak the Ritva, that's not mistavra at all. That because of the nefila, because it fell later, you should worry that the edim signed shaloka din. What does one have to do with the other? Meaning the Edom signed Shalok Din was much earlier. What does the Nefila have to do with that? So he says, no, the Chashash is not for that the Edom signed on the Shtar Shalok Din, that they signed a Shtar where they didn't see the actual loan. No, but rather, Kivan Shekosimus Hashtar Lelova Kishamal Venimsa Velot Sarach Sheedim Yerus Mesiris Hamos Hashtar, since they wrote the Shtar for the Lova when the Malva was there, and they didn't need to see the actual giving of the money in the Shtar, so there's makom to be choshesh that shemi ira shalva is achra al tishrei v'ashtar muktam. Then we have to worry that maybe it's a shtar muktam. So the chashash is not on the edim. The chashash is really on the lova and the malva, meaning that maybe the lova and the malva had the shtar written and then didn't actually do anything from that point on. Okay, now, again, this is all the issue. When we say that you don't write a shtar for the lova unless the malva is there, in a non-shtar hakna situation, does that mean unless the malva is present, like the Ritva suggests? Or does that mean no, unless you actually see the loan, which a number of other Rishonim suggest? But does the malva's presence do anything for you if you don't actually see money change hands? Right? Can I write a shtar just because the malva is there? So on the one hand, you would say, maybe yes. The Ritva would say, yeah, the malva's presence just tells you that both guys are in on it, that the lova is not making something up. Now, the lova would have no motivation to make something up, Lefora, but that he's not making something up. But maybe no. Maybe the point is that the whole point of the malva's presence is so that you could see the actual loan. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Abayi amar edav chsumav zachon lova, filu shtari delav hakna'a. Abaye says, and this going back on that which we say that you write, the Mishnah had said, that we had quoted, says that you write a shtar for the love even if the malva is not there. So the Gemara had said that's only by shtari hakna'a, that you'd write a shtar for the love even if the malva is not there, right? That's what the Gemara said. Abaye says, no, it's not true. You'd write a shtar for the love when the malva is not there, even if it's not shtari hakna'a. Eidu b'chasum of zachon lo, afilu z'shari d'lav hakna. We have a concept of eidu b'chasum of zachon lo, that when you have chasim of eidu on the shtar, so that creates the kinyan, even when it's not the shtar hakna. Mishum d'kash le, kivin dam b'shari d'lav hakna, because Abai was bothered. If we would be talking about shtaros that are not shtar hakna, kilesi l'malva ba'adei lo kasvinan, if you're going to say that shtaros that are not hakna, you would not write unless the malva was there, leka l'mecha sh'tikri v'kasuv. Abai just didn't find it logical that you're going to be, that if the rule is that you never write shtaros and the malva is not there, because this shtar fell, so you're worried that maybe they did write a shtar even though the malva wasn't there. No, if the rule is never to write a shtar, if the malva wasn't there, there's no reason to be choshish specifically over here. Elahad etnan, but wait a second, we have a Mishnah. Matzah gitei nashim reshechrur e'avadim, taitike matana. Let's say you find a gitin, or you find shechrur e'avadim, you find deeds of matana, the shovrim, you find receipts. Hareza lo yakser shem ksuvma yuvin emecholem sholitnam. You should not return it because maybe they changed their minds and they decided not to go through with the deal. But according to Abaye, who cares if they decided not to go through with the deal? Once you have the Edom and the Shtar, that's it. It's done. It's a done deal already. So answers Gemara, no, we're not always going to say that. That's only if it got to his hands. But if it never got to his hands, then we're never going to say that. Meaning, if he has the Shtar eventually, so then we're going to say Edom Chasum of Zachon, going back to the original Zman. But if he never had the Shtar in his hands, so then you're not going to let someone collect with the Shtar that never arrived. Rashi over here is bothered, he says Vikasha Haditnan, that which it says in Masech HaShviyas, Shtari Chov HaMukdam and Psulim VaMukharim Ksherin, that Shtari Chov that are Mukdam are Pasul, but Mu'uchar are Kasher, but my Mukila Abaye, what case would Abaye be referring to if Edo B'Chasum of Zachon Lo? So Tritz B'Mukdemes Ksivasan L'Chasimasan. So you have to say that the case is that the Ksiva was before the chasima. That's what shtar mukta means. Ulahachi psulin. Why is the shtar mukta pasul? Abai says eidu b'chasum of zachon lo. It should never be pasul. I don't care when the loan actually happened, as long as the chasimos happen when they're supposed to happen. So he would have to understand that Mishnah and Shavuos about shtari mukta being pasul as cases where the ksivas hashtar happened before the chasima, and they're pasul because you're going to be torah from the time of the ksiva. Right, so that would have to be the situation. Okay, Vaitan Gemara, El Masnis and Dekatani, going back to our mission, which said, Matzah Shtarichov, Miesh Pemachrayas Nechasim Lo Yachzir, that if you find Shtarichov and there is a Chrayas Nechasim written into the Shtar, you cannot return it. And we said that, what's the case? Where the Lova was Moda, that he owes the money. Why can't you return it? Why did Rameir say not to return it? Because we're afraid that maybe the Shtar says that something happened in Nisan, but the loan did not actually occur until Tishrei. So, and then you're going to take Lukuch HaShalokadin. So it says in Gemara, Bishlam Rav Asi. If you say like Rav Asi, Damar B'Shtari Akniyasa, Mukila B'Shtari D'Lav Akniyasa, Chedamrinan, who says that the only time you're ever going to write a Shtar to the Lova when the Malva's not there is by Shtari Akniyasa. So in our case, we must be talking about a shtar that's not a shtar akniyasa, that's not a shtar where he's clearly mishabed himself from the ksivas shtar, and therefore I understand a concern, meaning the nechasim are not mishubad from the time of the writing of the shtar, they're only mishubad from the time of the actual transaction, and we don't know when that transaction took place. That's a legitimate concern, I understand. You don't want to return such a shtar. El Abaye damreitu b'chasum of zachon lo. But Abaye holds that shtari akniyasa, not akniyasa, doesn't matter. As soon as Edom signed on the shtar, that's it. That's when your shibud begins, no matter what. So then what's the problem? Ma'ika l'meimar. Right? Once, meaning, what's the issue about shibud nechasim? The issue about shibud nechasim is that someone who buys your property should be able to do research to know if there's a lien on that property. At what point is there enough of a word out on the street that there's a lien on that property that someone will be able to find that out? So the Ravasi assumes that generally speaking, if there's a loan that occurs, that's when it's going to be found out. if a guy writes such a shtar and has people sign on a shtar that he's being meshabed everything from now, and he says it beferish, even if there's no loan, so that's weird enough that everyone's going to be able to find out about it. But stam, if I write a shtar privately and I just get to wait him, and then 6 months later I decide to lend the money, in those intervening 6 months, no one's going to know that there's this shtar that's out there. That's Ravasi's point of view. Abai would say, no, Edom v'chassum of Zachlma means once you have two Edom signed on a document, that creates enough of a kol that the Lekucha should be able to find out about that. That the Lekucha should be able to discover that there's lien on the property, and therefore the lien is able to be created. Right? So according to Abaye, that Edom v'chassum of Zachlma, so what's our Mishnah talking about? That you don't want to return the shtar that has a chayis because we're afraid of being torah from the lekuchos? So what? It's legal. You're allowed to be torah from the lekuchos. The shibud's there already. So now in our Mishnah, the concern is that maybe the money was already paid back. And it's not that the shtar is invalid. The shtar is perfectly fine, was valid, and there was a shibud. But if it was already paid back, then the shibud goes away. We're worried maybe the lova paid back the money, and then since he's paid back the money, he's worked out a deal with the malva that, here, try to collect again with it, you'll take away from the lekuchos, and then we'll split whatever profits we get from the lekuchos. So, that works great if you assume that we are worried about kanunya, but according to Shmuel, who generally is going to say soon that we're not worried about kununya. So then, how are you going to explain? How's Abai going to explain according to that? So Hani Chayisav LaKrav Asi. So if Shmuel holds like Rav Asi, Damar B'Shtari Hakna, who says that the only time you're ever going to write a shtar for the lova when the malva is not there is if it's a shtar hakna. So Muki Masi, so B'Shtari Delav Hakna. So very good. So our mission will be a case of a shtar that's not a shtar hakna. And mele, there's no shibud. Eli isaver ka abaye, but if he holds like abaye, damer eduv b'chassum of zachon lo maikel lemeimar. Meaning, if you hold like both Shmuel and abaye, or if Shmuel holds like abaye, whatever, however you want to say it, then you're going to run into problems. Because again, Shmuel says that that we're not choshish for kanunya. Abaye says that eduv b'chassum of zachon lo. What are we afraid of in returning the shtar in our Mishnah? You find a shtar that has a chayis nechassim. What's the risk in returning it? What, are you worried about kanunya? No, Shmuel says you're not worried about kanunya. Are you worried about that it's that you're going to be torah for kucha shalokadin? Abaye says that's not shalokadin. From the time that the edim are signed, and you're allowed to be torah from the kuchos. What exactly is the concern? So Shmuel mukid masnisim kshein chayev moda. Shmuel is going to have to go back to the whole to the drawing board all over again and say no. Shmuel will read the Mishnah as a case where the loveh is not moda that he owes the money. It's not a case where the love is moda. So let's go back to the kasha we asked then. This goes all the way back. If the love is not moda that he owes the money, when there's no achrayis nechassim, why are you returning the shtar if the guy was never moda? Granted, he's not going to be able to collect from the chasim shabadim, but still, the guy will still be able to collect from the chasim nechorin. And isn't that unfair? If the love is not moda that he owes the money, and here the shtar was just found, why should maybe the shtar fell from the love? Why would we return the shtar and allow the malva to go collect again? Again, back to our original question. That's all. So answers Gemara Shmuel Tamei. Shmuel over here goes Lishita so. The Amar Shmuel, Amar Hayir Ameir, Shtar Chov Shein Ba'achrayis Nechassim Ein Gove, Lomi Mishabdi V'Lomi B'Nechari. Unbelievable Chiddush. He says if a Shtar Chov doesn't have a Achrayis Nechassim, it's worthless. It's a piece of garbage. You can't collect from anywhere. Not only can you not collect from the Kuchos, you can't even collect from the Love. So frankly, Gemara, okay, then what's the whole discussion? I mean, we're talking about a Shtar doesn't have a Achrayis Nechassim. Do you return it? Do you not return it? Who cares? You can't do anything with it, right? It's a piece of garbage. If you can't collect with it, you'll return to the malva. Malva, here's your shtar back. Enjoy. Thank you very much. What do I need this for? I can't do anything with it. So I'm Nosim Roshia, lots of pizza chisu shal malva. No, you may want it just to have around to use for a little thing. You know, every piece of paper is valuable if he's if he's innovative enough in his way of in using things that are around the house, so he'll use it as a bottle cap. He'll use it for whatever, as whatever little things he can think of that he has to use parchment. Whatever uses he has for parchment, he'll be able to use it. So good. So he'll be able to latzal pitzal chisa. But in a chinami, he can't really do anything of significance with it in terms of collecting money. So frak the Gemara. Okay, but now if you're going to assume using it as a bottle cap is somewhat significant, why do you give it to the Malva to use as a bottle cap? Let the Lova use it as a bottle cap. Yeah, it's a shah that has no chayis nechasim, so it's worthless. So why would we give it to the Malva to use and not to the Lova? It says more Lova who damaloy dvar me'olam. No, the case was the Lova said, I don't know what this is. I never borrowed money from the guy. It's not a case where the Lova said I paid the money back. If it were a case where the Lova said I paid the money back, that means the shtar was returned to me, right? Generally speaking, if I borrow money, so I give you a shtar, when I pay the money back, you give me back my shtar. So then the lova should be able to have the shtar. We should give it to the lova. But if the lova said, when we found the shtar, I don't know what this is, I never saw anything like this, I never borrowed money from this guy, I don't know what this is all about, then it's you can't give it to the lover because by the lover's own admission he has no claim to it. Okay, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Machlokas Peshein Chayv Moda. The whole Machlokas on Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar says, Machlokas Rabbi Lazar and Biyochanan over here, and then we're going to bring a brisa that we're going to pull together between, and we're going to see how that brisa affects the shitas of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yochanan, and the shita of Shmuel that we just quoted before. So anyway, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Machlokas Peshein Chayv Moda. The Machlokas is when the lova is not Moda. The Machlokas in our Mishnah is only when the lova is not Moda. This was Shmuel's shita, by the way, that it's only when the guy is not Moda that the Mishnah is discussing. Right? So Meir holds a shtar that doesn't have a chayis nechasim, you can't collect from anywhere, right? Rabbanan Savri and the Rabbanan would hold Migvagavi. You can collect from Nechasim B'nei Chorin when there's a shtar that doesn't have a chayis nechasim, like we always assumed before. Avol Keshechayiv Modeh, but when the guy is Modeh, right, when the love is Modeh, Divrei HaKol Yachzir, then everyone would say you do return the shtar, Velo Cheshin L'Piron L'Kununya, and we're not worried about Kununya, which is what we said was the Shita of Shmuel before, that we're not worried about Kununya, and according to Abaye, we said that Eidav B'Chasum of Zachon Lo, so there's nothing to worry about, so then you could return the Shtar, if there's a Chayis L'Chasim, and everyone would agree to that. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, like the first said, that machlokas kishachayv moda. The machlokas in our Mishnah is only when the lova was moda. That Rameir holds that a shtar that doesn't have a chayis nechasim, you only cannot collect it from nechasim shabbatim, but you can collect from nechasim nechorin. Rabbanan Sabri and the Rabbanan hold, you can collect from nechasim mishubadim as well. Aval kishain chayiv moda, divrei hakol lo yachzir. But if the lova was never moda, then everyone would say there's nothing to return. You should not return it to chashin l'piron, because we're worried if the guy's not moda, we're worried it was already paid back, and the shtar should be worthless at this point. It's a fundamental machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, which reflects the whole discussion we just had in Amud Aleph. What's the case of our Mishnah? Is the case of our Mishnah where we have a machlokas when the lova was moda, or is the case where the lova was not moda? Tanya kavasid Rabbi Yochanan v'tiyufta Rabbi Elazar b'chada v'tiyufta Shmuel b'tarti. So we're going to have a brisa that, as I mentioned, is going to affect the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, the sheet of Rabbi Elazar, and the sheet of Shmuel, which is not in machlokas with Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel is very much similar to Rabbi Elazar, right? He just doesn't say all the details. So we're going to have a brisa that we're going to see is a riot Rabbi Yochanan, a tiyufta Rabbi Elazar from one angle, and a tiyuftan Shmuel from two angles. I mean, whatever's going to be tiyuftan Rabbi Elazar is going to be tiyuftan Shmuel also, because Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar that the whole machlokas is k'shein chayiv moda, right? The whole machlokas is when the lover does not admit that he owes the money, but if the chayiv is moda, then everyone would agree that you should return the shtar. So there's going to be an additional tiyuftan Shmuel. So what is this price? So it says the price as follows: Masa shtar chov yesh b'machayis nechasim. You find a shtar chov that has a in it. Even though everyone admits that this shtar is a valid shtar, you don't return it. Now, right off the bat, you see right there, right, Rabbi Elazar said when it's chayiv moda, everyone agrees you do return it. Right over here, you see that even though they're the love is moda, you don't return it. Ain ben achrayis nechasim. There's no achrayis nechasim. Bizman shalove moda yachsin lemalve. So if the love is moda, then you can return it. Ain alove moda lo yachsin lo lozev lo lozev divra meir. And if the love is not moda, then you don't return it to anybody. That's Rameir shita. Shahayir Rameir omer shtari sheyesh ben achrayis nechasim Gove Sharikov Shesh Bemakhais Nachasim, Gov Minchasim Shubadim, Vishem Renachais Nachasim, Gov Minchasim Necharin, because Rameir holds that a Sharkov that has a Chais Nachasim, as we generally assumed, you can collect from Nachasim Shubadim, and if it doesn't have a Chais Nachasim, that only stops you from collecting from Mishubadim. But you're still allowed to use it, you can still collect from Nachasim Necharin. The Chacham Echazev Echazev Gov Minchasim Shubadim. The Chacham say, even if there's no Chais Nachasim written in the Star, you can still collect from Nachasim Shubadim. What's the svar for that? Why should that be true? If it doesn't have a chayas nechasim, why should it be able to collect from the chasim mishubadim? So the chacham apparently are of the opinion that a chayas tal soferhu, that the fact that they did not write a chayas nechasim into the shtar is only indicative of the fact that the sofer made a mistake. There's no such thing as a shtar chov that doesn't have a chayas nechasim. Every shtar chov has a chayas nechasim. So tiyufzer b'lazer b'chada da amar l'rad meir shtar shemo a chayas nechasim enu govim nechasim mishubadim lo min nechasim nechorin. That it's a tiyufzer b'lazer because b'lazer says that a shtar that does not have a chayas nechasim is totally worthless. According to Rameir, the kamer bein Rameir bein Rabbanan lo chashinu lekanunya. And he said that that both according to Rabbanan and Rameir were not worried about kanunya. If everyone's modi, you could just return it. Ubraisa katani, but in the braisa it says the opposite on both points. Shtar shein ba chayas nechasim mishabdi udul agavi hamim necharin migva gavi. That if there's no chayas nechasim, you can still collect from nechasim necharin. Vekatani, and it also says in the brisa, ben Rameir ben Rabbanan chashin lekununya. That both the Rameir and the Rabbanan are worried about the kununya. The katani af bishnei modim lo yachzi lo lozeh v'lo lozeh. It says even if they're both modi, you cannot return it. Al machashin lekununya, which is very clear that we are choshish for kununya. So says Gemara, wait a second. We started this discussion of this brisa by saying that according to this brisa, it's going to be one tiyufta on Rabbi Lazar, v'ani tartihu, but we just listed two tiyuftas from the brisa on Rabbi Lazar, right? We just pointed out that the brisa is against Rabbi Lazar on two points, both in terms of what value a shtar that does not have a chayas nechasim has, if any, right? That was one point of dispute between Rabbi Lazar and the Braisa, and the second point of dispute is whether we're choshish for kununya. Aren't those two totally separate issues? And says Gemara, no, that's really only one big issue. Chadahu, the chad tamu, it's all one issue. Demishum de kamer Rabbi Lazar machlokas b'shein chayiv moda hu matari tzachi. That is because Rabbi Lazar assumes that the machlokas in the Mishnah is talking about a case where the lova was not moda, so that's what leads Rabbi Lazar to say, wait a second, it's talking about a case where the lova is not moda, so if the lova is not moda, why would you ever return the shtar if the lova is not moda? So that's what you have to say, because it has no value. You can't even collect from Nechasim Mishubadim, right, from Nechasim B'nei Chorin. It has no value whatsoever. And that's what leads to his shita that were choshish for kununya, because he's obviously assuming that if lova was moda, then we would be choshish for kununya on nechasim shubadim. Okay, so that's the today's daf. Mr. Shem will pick up with further analysis of that brisa tomorrow.